I took part in the Brickhill clean-up yesterday, part of the Pride in Bedford initiative to help us look after our neighbourhood, organised by the parish council with the borough council. And we all assembled at a Brickhill community centre, and we collected our litter picker-uppers and our plastic bags and our fluorescent Pride in Bedford tabards. These clearly identified us as authorised to remove litter from the highways and the byways. And after I'd completed my registration form, detailing my next of kin, my personal details, any medical conditions which might affect me as I'm picking up litter, I took off to Tidy Brickhill. Very interesting experience, very. Usually as I'm out and about, I'm walking the things with a dog, I see people and they say, hello, good morning, good afternoon, how are you doing? It just even a cursory nod, you know, nice day or whatever. Not yesterday. No. The usual comments were absent. People looked the other way. Now, I'm sure Jesus would have made a wonderful parable out of it. I simply make the point that it's interesting that people's attitude to those who carry out menial tasks is interesting. And of course, the Christian way is that we treat people as equals and we don't look down our noses at them just because they carry out jobs that we think aren't quite good enough for us. None of us has any reason to feel elevated over others, either by our status, our qualifications, our possessions, or anything we have. We do not treat others disparagingly or think ourselves superior. We follow a saviour who washed people's feet. Perhaps on Maundy Thursday we would do well, instead of carrying out some of the symbolic foot washings in our churches, just to get out and pick up litter and see what it's really like on the rough end. Now, having spoken about that, it brings me to the passage from Mark and the Transfiguration, where Jesus takes people up the high mountain and they're joined by Moses and Elijah. What a meeting. I'm sure that you've all ascended at some stage in your lives high mountains, and you will have experienced the grandeur that can sometimes bring. The last time I went up on a high mountain was on a visit to Caravaca de la Cruz. It was in Spain. And we were visiting Villa Farthing, and we decided to go for a drive to see a relic of the true cross. What was a few hundred miles in a Nissan Primera to see the crucifixion instrument itself? It seemed like a very good idea, until after driving hundreds of miles in the heat and getting lost, we found that the monastery was closed. A quick telephone call to a translator back in England, and we realised that the sign outside the sealed monastery door meant that it was shut for lunch. Which in Spain means it opens again for a whole hour before closing again for dinner. We decided to go home and forsake the spiritual edification of the relic. But fortunately, we were to find sustenance and eventually returned some hours later to see the piece of the cross. It was encased in an extravagant, jeweled silver holder. The cross itself would not have made a good splinter if it had been stuck in your finger. But the case was remarkable. The high point of the visit was seeing a Ford Fiesta wheeled into the monastery car park to be blessed by a priest. And as holy water was sprinkled on the bonnet of the car to the appreciation of the driver, I thought of a new idea for fundraising. Anyway, I can see Sam with his I can see Sam with his shaving brush now. Anyway, what was it which renewed our strength and caused us to have new vigour to return. After we left the monastery, dismayed at the lack of customer focus, we had a high point. We drove some miles into the countryside and gradually ascended a mountain to find ourselves on a plateau. I dislike heat intensely, and the temperatures down in the valley were hot and sticky, so it was acutely refreshing to get out of the vehicle and suddenly feel the drop in temperature. All of a sudden it was cool and you could breathe again. The air was fresh and I could sense a different kind of atmosphere. There was a brilliant view. I could look back from the plateau over miles and miles and miles. And I could see the geography of where we'd been during the day, how we'd travelled through the valleys, where we'd come over little passes. It all became obvious when I was up high. Whereas on the journey, it was all guesswork. Shall we go this way or that? Is the monastery on this side of the valley or that side of the river? Suddenly everything was clear and understandable because we were at a height. It was a world away. That mountain experience gave us encouragement and the rest that we needed so that we could go on. We couldn't stay on the mountain. We had to go back down into the valley. And of course, Jesus did the same thing with his disciples. Jesus knew that there were difficult days ahead of them. So he took the disciples up the mountain. Spiritually, we all need, occasionally, to go up the mountain to help us to cope with the heat and the stress of our everyday lives. We all need mountaintop experiences in our daily walk with God. We need those experiences to renew our strength for the difficult tasks that we face as we follow each day. Now, you may never have had a mountaintop experience. You perhaps may not have felt moments when the earth is filled with God's glory. But we have to seek out these mountaintop experiences. We have to create spaces in our busy lives to recognize the awe-inspiring and that which provokes wonder, the holy. To do this is to wake up our spirits in an arid world in which we live. And we need to remember that God is not a distant being who's trying to speak to us occasionally from outer space and just occasionally little bits and snippets of his conversation break through and then are lost. God is not like that. God is not remote. God is not distant. God is not out in space. God is at the center of each of our lives, whether we know it or not. In Acts 27:27, we read, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. For in him we live and move and have our being. Think of God as the source of our being, at the heart of each one of us. Yes, God is transcendent and magnified and holy and lifted up, but God is also close enough to be real. We're about to enter Lent, and traditionally our churches have stopped meetings. This is a good thing because we're using a discipline to create space so that we can listen to God. We stop chattering and we listen. This is a good season to set aside time to ascend the mountain, to create moments when we can discern God's voice through the clamour of our hurried lives. Often people will say to me things like they wish their faith was stronger. I'm not saying at all that we should all live our Christian lives on mountaintop highs and that we should all know God as closely as we can just reach out and touch Sam as I can this morning. Obviously, we will spend much of our lives in the valleys, just as Jesus led his disciples back down into the valley. But we need to be inspired, we need to be encouraged, and we need to be sustained in our Christian lives. We need God's spiritual food. How do we do this? As we take time to read the scriptures, God can inspire us. As we listen to God in prayer, we can be guided and empowered. As we remind ourselves of our complete dependence upon God by the imposition of ashes in the chapel on Wednesday. As our hands cradle the spiritual food of bread and wine in the Holy Communion. As we listen to the ideas and stories of others by coming to the Lent course. These are all things that we can do throughout Lent as we seek to have God uphold us and sustain us and lift us in our spiritual lives. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, look on us, your children, burdened by care. And Lord, take our responsibilities and help us to lay them aside and trust in you. Lord Jesus, help us to make space in our lives so that you can satisfy our spiritual hunger and our thirst. And may we find refreshment in your presence forever. Amen.